Elder Jim Smith.
Say good morning to all of you. Tell you it's wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful to hear what I've heard this morning. And I trust that the Lord will still continue to lift us up. Is anybody here actually from Front Royal? Okay. Your 12 and under Little League baseball team just beat my son's baseball team 10-5, and they went on to win the state. So now Front Royal will represent Virginia as they go down to Georgia for the regional playoffs, and certainly can congratulate them. My grandson did manage to hit a home run off of one of your pitches. it was a wonderful thing, and I'm happy to support the children in these things, and hope that the Lord will continue to bless. You know, we have a generation of young people coming up that, boy, when you think of the challenges they're about to face, it is just sobering, and may the Lord be with us. I've opened the scriptures this morning, and I ask you to pray for what time I'm before you, and I need to get out of Brother Joe's way. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, I'll start at the 26th verse and read for a few verses. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Yeah.
That tells me there is something after death.
Amen.
That we will be blessed to sit down at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and most of all with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I believe he is in our communion services with his Spirit. I believe that when you go through your communion service, you take of the bread and take of the wine, it's bread and wine in the mouth, but it's Jesus Christ in the heart. And it's a way that is given to us, I believe, to draw closer to our Lord, to think solemnly on the things he has done for us. You know, the Sadducees gave an example. This woman was married to a brother, and the brother died, and this happened down to the seventh brother. And therefore, they said in the resurrection, "Whose wife will she be?" And he said, "You do greatly err." You err on two basic principles. You don't know the power of God, and you don't know the scriptures. The Sadducees only recognized the first five books of the Bible, but even the first five books of the Bible teach the resurrection of these bodies, which the Sadducees denied. Exodus 3 and 6 says he is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I was reading the other night and something struck me. The author said there is no church that would grant communion to both Austin, speaking of Augustine, and Pelagius, who was a British monk that taught free will and taught that there was no such thing as original sin, and it's just up to you whether you're going to be saved or not. There's no church that would give communion to one that taught predestination and one that taught free will. And there's no church that would give communion to John Calvin and James Arminius. And I thought, you know, here on earth, that's probably true. But I believe there is one church that would give communion to all of us, and that is the Church of the Firstborn in heaven. God has a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. There was a great multitude, more than any man could number, according to the 7th chapter of Revelation, that you wouldn't have thought some of them would have made it. I wouldn't have. But here they were. It was not a fungible number. It was not an indefinite number. It was a definite number, but it was more than any man could number. But God could number.
Sure.
God knew them all. I believe that when Jesus went to the tree of the cross, he knew everyone that he
Amen,
was dying
brother.
For.
Everyone.
And he laid his life down and, that he might pick it up again, and he might say, on the day of the resurrection, behold, Father, I and all the children thou hast given me.
I'm lost in.
Well, I wonder sometimes, do y'all ever question our doctrine? Is it right or are we wrong? Either we're wrong or somebody else is wrong. And when we get to heaven, we may all have to amend a little bit. But that's all right. What is the solution today? The solution today is to keep in God's Word, to pray, to study the Scriptures, and to read it over and over again, and you'll find something new and something that you've read 100 times before.
Amen, brother.
To keep on looking. Keep on looking.
Searching.
He says over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that he that heareth my word and doeth it, why, it's likened to a man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain and the wind and all the perils came, and yet that house stood because it was built on the rock.
Amen.
And that rock is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord and our Savior. I believe there would be a lot more people in heaven than there are that get their theology right.
Amen, brother.
I believe he forgives us of so many things. But the basic question, I would say, is this. Does man save himself, or does God do the saving? Isn't that where the dividing point is, for the most part? Is it God that saves us, or is God just trying to save us? I'll tell you this. I say this with confidence. Nowhere in the Scripture does it picture Jesus trying to save, but it pictures him saving.
Amen.
Saving to the uttermost.
Amen.
You say, well, what about the Scripture that says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered, and they'll misquote it, and they'll say, gathered thee, but it doesn't say that. It says, gathered thy children, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and ye would not. That's addressed to the Pharisees, chastising them for desiring that the children not come. It doesn't have anything to do with his effectual calling. He didn't say, How often would I have gathered thee, but how often would I have gathered thy children? And ye would not. So, many are called externally. Few, fewer. How numerous is that few? It's as numerous as the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky and the dust of the earth. Few are chosen. So, we have so many things to be thankful for. I'm glad to be among the Primitive Baptist people. And we need to study His Word and do His Word. You know, if you say to yourself, well, Jesus is wrong on this point. I'm going to do what I want to do. I think under all the circumstances of the day's time, it's all right for me to just do what I want to do. Then you have just demoted Jesus from being your Lord and your Savior down to being your counselor. I hear you, Jesus, but I'm going to do it a little bit different. May God take that away from us. That was the temptation that Satan delivered to the woman in the garden. You be like God. You can do your own thing. Don't you know that life's real pleasure is in following Jesus Christ? Religion, one of the hymns says, never was designed to make our pleasures less, but it's to make our pleasures more. And don't we have an abiding hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that it'll be all right at the end? This is a God who's never lost the one that He died for. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all that He has given me, I should lose nothing. But what's He going to do?
Raise it up.
Raise it up at the last day.
Yeah.
Raise it up. And then we'll drink that new wine with Him, Brother Junior.
Yeah.
Then we'll take that communion. Then we'll see Him and be conformed to His likeness and be as He is. These are issues that are greatly agitated in this day and time. And I took the liberty last night. I have actually, it's a perverseness I think, but I actually read the works of James Arminius, at least 85% of them according to my Kindle reader, Brother Gary. And I will say this, that not everything he says is as foolish as some things that he says, but and if you ever wanted to read a criticism of the Catholics, it's right there in Arminius' writing. But again, we come to the basic question. Is salvation up to us, or is salvation of God? You know, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish and the seaweed wrapped around his neck, he knew where salvation came from, didn't he? He knew it wasn't up to him. The bars were over him. It's a picture of the grave, if you will. The bars were over him forever. But God spake to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah out on dry ground. What a God we have. I know that I was far enough gone. I was dead in trespasses and sin. And if it hadn't been for the power greater than me, I would not be with you today. And I would not have any hope. But God spake to me like He spake to the fish. Thank God. Thank God. So I will go to my grave believing that salvation is of the Lord. I'm prepared to live with you. I'm prepared to die with you. Entreat me not to leave you. God is great. I was saying that I took the liberty to write down a few things that the Arameans have said, and then I wanted to give you what the scriptures say, if that would be all right. My memory isn't what it used to be, so I'm going to go to my little list here. And not all of this is from Arminius himself, but from the Arminians. I think sometimes Calvin wasn't a Calvinist, but nevertheless, these are logical conclusions from his followers. They say it is false to say election is confirmed from everlasting. But Ephesians 1 and 4 gives the lie to that. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. They say it is certain that God determines divers things which he would not, did not some act of man's will go before. In other words, God was dependent on man. But 2 Timothy 1 and 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. It was not according to what we did.
That's clear.
Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus at a very early time. Before the world began, brother. Before the world began. In Acts 15 and 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He wasn't waiting to see what we did in order to figure it out, was he? He wasn't surprised by what we did. He knew the end with the beginning. And that is confirmed in Isaiah 46 and 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's the God that we worship. They say men make their election void and frustrated. But Romans 9 and 11 for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. How is a man going to make that void? He can't. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. For 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 2 and 19, nevertheless, foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows. They say that election is uncertain and revocable, and whoever denies it overthrows the gospel. But Psalm 33 and 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Aren't you glad we don't have a changeable God?
Amen.
And what about Malachi 3 and 6? He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. They say that many decrees of God cease at a certain time. But Isaiah 46 and 10, you can go to that. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. They say, as men may change themselves from believers to unbelievers, so God's determination concerning them changes. But James 1 and 17 talks about all good and perfect gifts coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. And Malachi again 3 and 6 says he changes not. I love that scripture in the 11th chapter of Romans. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we're looking to the future there, Brother Gary. We're looking to the future. We're looking to the fulfillment of all his promises. See the Jews drafted back in. See all his promises fulfilled. See us seeing him in heaven in immortal glory and being conformed to his likeness. And it is also the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things that have already occurred. So faith is looking forward and it's looking backward. The things 1,000 years yet to come or 1,000 years ago or longer still, because Abraham was 2,000 years before Christ. See all his promises come to pass. Not good, one good word of his promise has ever failed, nor shall it ever fail. Thanks be to a God that changes not, a God that chose us in Christ Jesus. Look at all the contingencies. You see, their God is the God is contingency. But God's greater than those contingencies.
Amen. Amen.
And he works through them all.
Amen.
And we may lose sight of it, but God never loses sight of us.
No.
And we will be with him in heaven and immortal glory. We might go through a lot of suffering to get there.
Absolutely.
But that's all right. We're going to see him. It'll be well worth it, Brother Jerry. We're going to see him as he is. I want to follow Jesus Christ. If I'm wrong on something, I want Jesus Christ's word to show me that. Maybe you brethren can help. But I'm thankful for the faith that we hold in common.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the Primitive Baptist faith because I believe it puts the honor where it belongs with God.
Amen.
God who saved us, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
You have to get down in the whale's belly, wrapped with seaweed around your neck in order to say it, then be thankful you can say it.
Amen. 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 Third verse, I think.
Oh, he's gentle.